Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara at the very top of Mem Ches Omid Aleph quotes from the Mishnah, which was dealing with the location of the slaughtering of different types of Kodshei Kodshim. Par v'soyer shel Yom HaKippurim, the cow and goat offering of Yom Kippur, the Mishnah said, is to be slaughtered in the northern half of the Azora. These korbanos, the par v'soyer of Yom Kippurim, happen to be examples of a korban chatas. The Gemara asks, we have a topic heading on the outside margin featuring the topic, the issue the Gemara will be dealing with. If you glance at the outside margin, you see the expression no say, which is a reference to the topic, Minolon de Oila Boit Safon. From where do I know that a Korban Ola requires slaughtering in the northern half of the Azora? The Gemara will feature an Ola Tzon, an Ola sacrifice brought from sheep and goats, and Olas Bokor, an Ola Korban brought from cows. So the Gemara asks, Michti, Tzafon ba'oilo ksiv. The need for sacrificing in the northern half of the Azora is written in an explicit fashion with regard to a Korban Ola. Rashi quotes the Pasuk at the very top line in the Rashi, where you see the Pasuk quoted, V'shochat oisoi al yerech ha-mizbech tzafona. That's a Pasuk that's written in the context of Olas Tzon. So, being that the Torah writes the need for the northern half of the Azora with regard to the slaughtering of an Ola sacrifice, the Gemara's question here is, Nisni oilo b'resha. The Gemara asks here on the second line from the top, why is it that the Mishnah does not teach as its first example the Korban Ola? Why is it that the opening example of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah is trying to illustrate Kodshei Kodshim, that they are slaughtered in the north, why not open up with the examples a Korban Ola? The Gemara answers, Chatos Aidi de Osi Midrasha Chavivole. The Korban Chatos, since it is derived through a drosha, through one of the instruments of the oral law, of the Torah Shebaal Peh, in this case it's derived from a hekish, a comparison, where the Torah, in describing a korban chatos, it says, b'mkoy masher tishchat ha'olah, that you shall shecht the chatos where you shecht an ola. And the ola, it's true, that's explicit, but the fact that the chatas is compared to the ola, and that is a hekish, which is one of the oral Torah instruments of deriving halachas, the Mishnah prefers giving it kedima, giving it primacy and precedence in its teaching. The Gemara asks, V'nisni chatois hachitzonos bereisha. If you want to teach the chatos first, as far as the examples go, why not teach one of the chatos? A chatos chitzona is a standard korban chatos, a standard sin offering that's done in the azora of the Beis Hamikdash, whose blood is sprinkled on the outside altar, the altar in the open air courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash in the Azora, as opposed to what the Mishnah does teach, where it chose to teach the Yom Kippur offerings first. The Gemara answers, Aidi d'toni nichnas domon lifnei v'lifneim chavivolei. Since the Mishnah teaches that the blood of the Yom Kippur offerings, their blood goes into the inner sanctum, the inner sanctum being the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it has a certain sense of desirability, and hence it is taught first. The Gemara asks, V'tzafona be'oilo Heichal k'siva, in the context of a Korban Ola, you just mentioned at the top, it's true we jumped the gun a little bit and read the Rashi, but the Gemara is asking, where in the case of a Korban Ola is there a reference to the north, to the Tzafon? The Gemara answers, brings the pasuk that we saw above in Rashi, and this pasuk is in the context of Olas Tzon. It says, V'shochat oisoi al yerech ha-mizbeach Tzafona, and you shall slaughter it, the Olas Tzon, the Ola offering that comes from sheep or goats, to the northern side of the Mizbeach, which is the northern half of the Azorah. As far as the exact definition of Tzafon, there are three deos in Tanoim, but that's not the purview of our shiur for right now. Ashkechon ben Tzon, we have found a source for the Ola that comes from Tzon to be slaughtered in the north. Ben Bokor min Olon, from where do I know that cows are slaughtered in the north? It's noteworthy that in the Torah, the reference to an Ola coming from a cow is written before the section that deals with an Ola that comes from Tzon. The Pasuk that says that an Ola is slaughtered in the north is from the latter section that deals with Ola that comes from Tzon. So the Gemara asks, what about that earlier section, the one that deals with Olas coming from cows? How do you know that they are to be slaughtered in the north? Omar Kro, V'im min HaTzon. The Parsha, the section dealing with the Tzon type Ola, starts with a Vav. The Vav is a connecting letter. Vav, Moisif al Inyan Rishoin. The letter Vav that began the section Ve'im by the Tzon is adding to that which was written earlier, the Bokar, the Yilmad Elyoin Mitachton, and I thereby will learn the earlier Parsha, the Bokar Parsha, from the latter Parsha, from the Parsha dealing with Tzon, where Tzafon was stated explicitly. Ha'nicha Lamanda Omar Melamdin. Well, this will work out well, and I'll have a source for Tzafon by Ola Bokar, if you hold from this method of learning, that an earlier section can be derived from the later section through the Vav. The Gemara is about to start we are starting a long question that lasts a number of lines. You can see this from the long question marking, the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. All of these lines develop the question. So the Gemara says things will work out, namely a source for Tzafon by Bokar works out according to the approach that says Melamdin. Elo Lamandi Omar Ein Melamdin Mai Iko Lameimar. But according to the approach that says you don't learn the Elyon from the Tachton, what is going to be your source for Tzafon by the Olas Bokar? And now the Gemara gives us background. Technically speaking, one could skip down from this point to the end of the question, at which point you would see Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa comes to answer the issue. The lines of Gemara from here till Rav Papa develop the background for this question. So it would be appropriate to note the brackets that we've included in the Gemara until that point. If you were to skip this, you would read Omar Rav Papa Dekuli Alma Lemedim. Rav Papa says, not like we thought that the issue of learning the earlier section from the later section is the subject of a controversy, and we said things would work out only according to one side. Rav Papa says everyone accepts that idea that you can learn an earlier section from a later section. And if I do that, then I will have a source for the Ben Bokar needing the Tzafon. It's through the connection of the two sections through the Vav. The issue will then come up as to what is the controversy between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim that are brought in this bracketed section that we didn't learn yet. And the Gemara will attempt to deal with that by offering a number of different suggestions, and that is illustrated through the triangles that you will see in the Gemara text. These are all attempts to explain the Machloikes, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, in the Tanaic source that's featured in the brackets. But as far as our immediate needs, namely seeking a source for Olas Boker, requiring Tzafon, that we would answer through the Vav that begins the section dealing with Olas Boker and connecting it to the earlier, the Vav that starts the section dealing with Olas Tzon, where Tzafon is mentioned, and connecting it with the earlier section for Olas Boker, thereby providing a source for Tzafon by Boker. Let's now, with all that introduction having been said, read the bracketed section. We just got finished saying that we would have a source for Tzafon by Olas Boker according to the opinion that holds you learn Elyon from Tachton, earlier from later. However, according to the opinion that says Ein Melamdin, then we would have a problem. So the brackets that begins at the word Disanyo is the point at which we will continue. After having asked the question of Ma'ikol Amemar, what will be the source for Tzafon by Ben Boker, the Gemara now gives the background to these two Manda Omrim. And by the way, with our markings, you will notice we've squiggle underlined the expression Lemanda Omer, the abbreviated expression. These are two opinions about how to approach Parshios in the Torah that are next to each other that are linked together with a Vav. Disanya. There is a source that features the Osham Tolui offering. This is a type of korban, Osham Tolui, that's brought when one encounters a Safek Chatas, a Safek sin offering situation. There are many different types of offenses listed in the Torah for which one has to bring a korban Chatas. When one is in doubt about having committed a sin that would have warranted a korban chatas, when one knows that he violated that particular sin, let's say one is in doubt about that, so he brings what's called an osham tolui. In general, this is information that you'll need for later in the Gemara, but in general, a korban chatas is brought when one was shogeg, when one inadvertently violated. A type of offense that if one did so knowingly, he wouldn't bring a chatas, he would be chayev kores. So when he's shogeg, he brings a korban chatas. And when he's in doubt, he'll bring what's called a korban osham tolui. There are cases where a person brings a korban chatas, but the offense is not one that would have been chayev kores if done knowingly. One of those happens to be the example of Mi'ilah. But for right now, that's just background information. Mi'ilah being the realm of benefiting improperly from items that were sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. If one does that, one benefits improperly, he is oiver, he's in violation of what's called Mi'ilah. So this source opens up Ve'im Nefesh. That's a pasuk dealing with an osham tolui, and that's called a tachton for our immediate discussion. A later parsha. Notice it begins with a vav. Lechayev al sofek miilos osham tolui. This pasuk helps to teach me that if one is in doubt about having violated mi'ilah, for example, a person with two pieces of meat in front of him. One was chulin, and one was sacrificial meat. And sacrificial meat that he is not supposed to benefit from. And he ate one of the two pieces, and he doesn't know if he ate the sacrificial meat or he ate the korban meat. The chulin meat, the mundane, common meat. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we see him circle, Divrei Rabbi Akiva, he holds that a korban asham tolui is brought in the event that one violated safek me'ilos. Let's just note that as far as the setup of the psukim in the Torah is concerned, the parsha of me'ila appears earlier. We have a little notation on the inside margin, a few lines down from this point, where you'll see it says vayikra hey posuk tezvav tezayin. That's the me'ila psukim, and that's called Elyon, the earlier section, because right after that in Vayikra Perek Hey Psukim Yud Zayin through Yud Tes, you have the Osham Tolui Parsha, which we label the Tachtoin. So the Osham Tolui Parsha is coming on the heels of a Me'ila section. And let's say one is in doubt about Me'ila, which is the earlier section. Well, so the section right after that in the Torah, which is linked by the Vav, says that, talks about the Osham Tolui. So I link it back, and I learn the Elyon from the Tachton. Namely, that when I'm in doubt about Mi'ilo, which is the Elyon, I learn from the Tachton, the Osham Tolui Parsha, that one would bring an Osham Tolui under such circumstances. The Chachamim Potcher and the Chachamim say that if one is in doubt about having violated Mi'ilo, there is no bringing of an Osham Tolui. My lav, beha komifligi. What must be the point of difference between Rabbi Kiva and Chachamim? Notice we have a triangle. The triangle represents a series of attempts to explain this machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, whether safek me'ila is chayav and asham toli. That is the machlokas. The question is, what is the basis of that machlokas? So this is the first attempt, and it goes as follows. Mor sovar lemedim, Rabbi Kiva holds, I learn the upper, the Elyon, from the lower, from the Tachton. Let's go over that again. I learn the halachas concerning Mi'ilah from that which it says later, the Oshem Tolui, namely that in a case of Safek Mi'ilah, one would bring an Oshem Tolui. The Chachamim also, Umar Sovar, the Chachamim hold, Ein Lemedim, that I don't learn earlier parshas from latter parshios. Well, at this point, then I see that there is an opinion that holds Ein Lemedim. So in the case of the Olas Bokar requiring Tzafon, I would then have a question. How do I know that Olas Bokar, which is an earlier Parsha, is required to be shechted, to slaughtered in the northern half of the Azora, and according to this Mandomar, I cannot learn details of the Elyon from the Tachton, and in the case of the Ola, you have the Tachton, the Parsha dealing with the Olas Tzon, where Tzafon is required. Omar Rav Papa, Dekuli Alma Lemedim. Rav Papa says, as far as our issue is concerned, Olas Boker, everyone holds you learn earlier Parshios from later Parshios when you have a Vav linking them together, as we illustrated. So we would have a source for Olas Bokar requiring Tzafon. What about the controversy between Rabbi Kiva and Chachamim regarding Safek Me'ilos? V'hainu taimo de Rabbanan. And this is the reason for the Rabbanan that exempt one from bringing an Osham Tolui in the case of Safek Me'ila. Ne'emar kan mitzvos. It says, you see the word mitzvos in the Torah in the context of Osham Tolui. Ne'emar b'chatas chelev mitzvos. Chatas chelev is a catch-all expression for a standard korban chatas. The word mitzvos appears in the case of a standard korban chatas, which is the reason that the Gemara uses the term chelev is because that's a common situation of one who may have mistakenly consumed chelev, forbidden fats, in an animal. He is expected to bring a korban chatas, a sin offering. So you see a gzeirah shava, a similar expression by the Osham Tolui and by the Chatas Chelev. Ma lahalon, just like by the Chatas, dover shechayv mazdoni korsa shigos chatas, the nature of that offense is that if one would have done it willingly, that's called zdono, he would have been chayav kores. He would have been chayav the kores penalty, which, according to some explanations, means one would die prematurely. And in the event that one does it inadvertently, he brings a korban chatas. Afkan, so to over here in the concerning an Osham Tolui, when does one bring an Osham Tolui? That is when he is in doubt concerning such a topic. Shechayiv mazdonu koreis v'ashigosu chatas. To the exclusion of Me'ila, a person who violates Me'ila willingly is not chayiv koreis. He may be chayiv misabidei shamayim, but not koreis. for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that Sofek Mi'ilos do bring an Osham Toloi. What does he do with regard to this Gezerah Shava? How does he learn the Gezerah Shava? He says, Ma lahalon bekavua, afkan bekavua, just like an Osham Toloi has a fixed price. Or let us say this, just like the offense of chalev is kavua, is a type of situation where he must bring an animal chatos offering, as opposed to the realm of chatois that are called oilu v'yored, which take into consideration one's income level, and if he can't afford an animal offering, he can bring a bird offering, and if he can't afford even that, he brings a meal offering. So we say that ma'ala halon, just like in the case of a person who violates chalev, he must bring an animal offering. Af kan bekavua, so too an osham tolui is brought under situations where he has violated a suffix sin, a doubt. He's in doubt about a sin that would have warranted an animal type korban chatos. La fuke, to the exclusion of chatos to tumas mikdash v'kadoshav the oilu v'yoridhu, to the exclusion of a case where, let's say, a person was in doubt about having entered the base of mikdash or having eaten the korban in a state of tuma. That type of offense, if done knowingly, not willingly, but if he is aware that he inadvertently violated Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, he brings what's called Chatos Oyle V'Yoreid. It's a section in the Torah that does take into account a person's income level, as we described just before. In such a case, let us say he is in doubt whether he violated Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. In that case, he would not bring an Osham Tolui. The Rabbanan, who we saw above in the case of who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva with regard to Osham Mi'ilos, they say Ein Gezeira Shava Lemechza. A Gezeira Shava is not taught in a partial form. Therefore, if you have a gzeira shava, that means all of the halachas that apply to the korban chatas will apply to the osham toli as well. And therefore, just like by the chatas, it's an issue of kavua, namely it does not take into consideration income level, so too an Osham Toli would not be brought when one is in doubt concerning a violation of a Sofek Chatas Oyle V'Yoreid. In addition to that, the Gezeira Shava will tell us that just like you we should point out that when the Gemara says V'Rabbanan here, the line just before V'Rabbanan, the Gemara is saying that essentially the Rabbanan agree with what Rabbi Kiva just got finished saying with regard to the Chatos Kavua, excluding the need for an Osham Tolui in the realm of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. Being that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Kiva, what about the fact that the Rabbanan exempt in the case of Sofek Mi'ila? So to that they say, Ein Gezeira Shava Lemechza. And just like by the Chatos, it's a Zdoine Kores, and so too the Osham Toli is brought only with regard to Zdono Kores, to the exclusion of Mi'ila, which is not Zdono Kores. For Rabbi Kiva, Nami Ein Gezeira Shava Lemechza. Well, according to Rabbi Kiva, if you're going to say Ein Gezeira, doesn't he also agree Ein Gezeira Shava Lemechza? And if that's the case, why is there an Osham Tolui by Mi'ila? Once again, Mi'ila is not like the case of Chatas Chelev, which was Zdono Kores, for Mi'ilo is not Zdono Kores. So the Gemara says, in Hochinami, yes, he does hold from the principle in general of Ein Gezeira Shavala Mechza. The question then is, if so, according to Rabbi Kiva, why is there an Osham Tolui by Mi'ila? V'hocha v'ha komiflegi. And here in the case of Sofek Mi'ila, the following is the Hesber of the Machloikis, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachomim. Rabbi Kiva Savar, V'im Nefesh Ksiv, the Pasuk by the Osham Tolui, begins, the parsha of the Osham Tolui begins with a Vav. Vav Moisif Al Inyan Rishon. The Vav represents a continuation of that which was spoken before. And that which was spoken before was the parsha of Mi'ila. So it's as if the Torah is continuing. When it talks about Osham Tolui, it's as if it's continuing its discussion about Mi'ila, and telling you that when you're in doubt about having violated Mi'ila, you will bring an Osham Tolui. Rabbanan Nami Hoksi V'im Nefesh. According to the Rabbanan, does the Torah not write V'im Nefesh, demonstrating that the parsha of Osham Tolui is a continuation of Mi'ila? So why is it that the Rabbanan exempt one who is in suffix about having violated Mi'ila from bringing an Osham Tolui? Lema beha komiflegi. Maybe we should suggest that the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan is in the following. The more sofer hekish odif. Rabbi Kiva holds that the fact that Torah compares or connects the two parshios, that is an overriding factor, and hence I do learn that when that's there for a suffik mi'ila, one brings in Osham Tolui. Umor sofar, the Rabbanan place greater emphasis on Gzeirah Shava Odif. And as a result of the Gzeirah Shava we saw above, you would exclude the suffik mi'ila from the need of an Osham Tolui. And by the way, when the Gemara says your Gzeirah Shava Odif, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which instructs you to align it with a previous arrow, and you'll see above where the Gezeirah Shava was mentioned, the mitzvos Gezeirah Shava. The Gemara says, lo, the kule almo hekish, the hekish odif. Everyone will agree that the hekish is a more significant form of oral tradition, of learning Torah Shebal Peh. The issue then is, if hekish is odif, so why is it that the Rabbanan exempt a suffik mi'ila from an Osham Tolui? The Amri Loch Rabbanan, the Rabbanan will tell you that the Hekish is used for the following. Tachton hu de gomar me elyon l'osham bekesef shkolim. That the Tachton Parsha, the Osham Tolui, is learned from the elyon, from the issue of Mi'ila, and Osham Mi'ilos. Regarding the halacha of Osham Bekesef Shkolim, we shouldn't go any further in the Gemara before we correct a mistake that we made earlier. We mentioned inadvertently that in the case of a Mi'ila violation, if one is aware that he violated Mi'ila, he would bring a Korban Chatas. That's an absolute mistake. The type of Korban that one brings for a violation of Mi'ila is called an Osham. It's called an Osham Mi'ilos. However, the realm of Mi'ila is a realm in which there's no Kores, but rather it's a penalty known as Miso B'dei Shemayim, when one did so willingly. The Rabbanan are explaining right now in the Gemara what the role of the Hekish is. The Hekish is to compare or to link up the Parsha of Osham Tolui with the Parsha of Mi'ila with regards to the cost of an Osham Tolui. So we say that the Tachton, the Parsha of Osham Tolui, is that which is learned from the Elyon, from the Parsha dealing with Mi'ila. In the case of Mi'ila, if one violated, one is aware that he violated in a shogeg fashion the problem of benefiting from Hekdish, he brings in Osham Mi'ilos, and the cost of that is two pieces of silver, two. It's the Torah uses the expression kesef shkolim. Shekel of the Torah is a sela, two sloyim, is the cost of a korban osham. And therefore, since we are deriving the later parsha, the parsha of osham tolui, from the earlier parsha, we come to the conclusion that an osham tolui also will be kesef shkolim in cost. And you'll ask, what's the importance of emphasizing this idea or this fact? Shaloi toimar, one should not think the following. So the idea that one should not think, we've incorporated in singular quotation marks. That means the next two lines, if you can see where the singular quotation marks are positioned, the following one should not say. Lo yehe sveiko chomur mivado. With regard to the sveiko, that's a reference to the osham tolui. One might have thought that the cost of an osham tolui should not be any more than the cost of vado. That's a reference to a korban chatas. We mentioned earlier that a person brings an osham tolui when he is in a state of doubt whether he violated that kind of sin that b'shogeg would have warranted a korban chatas. How much does a korban chatos cost? Ma vado chatos bas danka. Just like the one who knows he violated the sin warranting a chatos brings a korban that costs a bas danka. Danka, for our purposes, is a shtus. It's a sixth of a dinner. It's a maw kesef, which is a sixth of a dinner. Rashi points out that this is lav davka. It means, for our purposes, something very inexpensive, much less than the two shkolim that was just mentioned before in the case of the cost of an osham. So one might have said that just like the vadai offense warrants the bringing of a korban chatas, which is a very low cost requirement, af sveiko osham bas danka, so too, one might have thought that the osham tolui should not be any more expensive. And therefore, the hekish of the im nefesh that we saw above, according to the Rabbanan, that hekish teaches me that an osham tolui, in fact, even though it's brought because of a doubt, its cost is much more. It's too sloyim. Rabbi Kiva ha-svara minale. Where does Rabbi Kiva learn that from? Don't forget, Rabbi Kiva was using the hekish of the im nefesh by the osham tolui to teach that, that the parsha before concerning mi'ila, that if one's a suffek mi'ila, brings an osham tolui. So where does Rabbi Kiva learn the issue of the cost of a korban osham tolui? Answer: Nafgale mizois Torah ha'asham, Torah achas lechol ha'ashamos. One rule applies to all kinds of ashamos that they are shnei kesef. Tenach mandi isle Torah. That approach works out well according to those who hold that Torah serves as an umbrella expression for all ashamos. Man the lesle Torah mehecho gomar. One who does not hold from the Torah approach to learning, namely one who doesn't darshan Torah as an umbrella expression to all ashamos, where is he going to learn the cost of an asham tolui? Answer: Gomar be'erkecha be'erkecha. He has a gezerah shava of be'erkecha. In the case of an asham tolui, you see that word by an asham tolui, an asham gezelos, you see the word be'erkecha, and by asham mi'ilos, the osham, the korban brought when one knows he violated inadvertently a mi'ila sin, there the pasuk says be'erkecha kesef shkolim. So the Gemara goes on and says teinach hecha dechsi be'erkecha. This works out well to serve as a source for all those ashamos that you have the word be'erkecha written. And that would include the osham gezelos. We're not going to get into that, what that is, but there's an osham gezelos and the osham tolui. Those are points that you find in the Rashi. Osham shivcha charufa delo ksiv bei berkecha ma'ikol ameimar. What about the korban osham that's brought in the event that one violates the offense of Shibcha Harufa, which we're not going to define right now, but it's another area in which one brings a Korban Asham, but you don't have the word Be'erkecha there. So, my equal Amema, from where do you know that its cost should be Shnei Shkolim? Answer, Gomar Ba'ayel Ba'ayel. You have the word Ale written by the Shibcha Harufa, and you have the word Ba'el written by the Osham Mi'ilos. And just like by the Osham Mi'ilos, we know that it's Shnei Shkolim, so to the Shivcha Harufa. Rashi elaborates on all the different korbanos where you find this word Ale written. As we turn our attention to the continuation of the Gemara, we notice a little letter in a diamond. We have this explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. Aleph through Dalid are nekudos, points, hakshuros, ledin, sofon, bechatos. Points regarding the issue of north when dealing with a korban chatos. Chatos, menolon, debayet, sofon. First of all, from where do you know that a korban chatos requires slaughtering in the north? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says by the a goat offering, a sin offering coming from a goat, it's called a Seiras Yochid, V'shochat es hachatos b'mkoim ha'oila. You shall shecht the chatos, in this case a Seiras Yochid, a private person who brings a chatos, sin offering from a sawyer. It says in the Torah, you shall shecht it where you shechted the ola. Now, we got finished in our previous part section of Gemara dealing with where do you know that an ola is done b'tzafon. So, once we've established that ola is b'tzafon, the chatos is done in the same place. Ashkechon shchita. We should point out, by the way, when the Torah says v'shachat esachatos b'mkom lo, Rashi says esachatos yiseirahu. This expression of esachatos is an extra expression. Da'abachatos koi. When you look at the Torah itself, you find you're in the middle of the section dealing with achatos. Avi'el mechta v'shachat oisa. It would have been sufficient to use a pronoun, and it's, namely, you shall shecht it. Lama li esachatos. Why does the Torah use the explicit noun when it could have gotten away with the pronoun? Binyan av. It serves as a general rule. L'chol sheshmoi chatos sheton sofon. That anything that is called a chatos requires sofon. De lo temo davka siras yochid dechsiv gabei. That one should not say that sofon is limited to the goat offering in which the pasuk is found. Had it said v'shochat osa b'mkom ola, one might have thought that only the goat offering, the goat sin offering, is to be done in the north. Now that the Torah uses the expression esachatos, it serves to include all sacrifices that carry the name chatos with them. They too require the tzafon. So we have found that the slaughtering of the chatos is required to be done in the north, because the pasuk says v'shochat kabbalah minolon. This is the second point of interest, the receipt of the dam, that it's to be done in the north. Dichtiv v'lokach hakoyin midam hachatos. This pasuk is a reference to the receipt of the dam, and it's written after v'shochat. So wherever you had done the shechita, you continue being there and do the Kabbalah. Mekabel atzmo minolon. From where do I know that the Kohen who is receiving the blood, he personally must be standing in the tzafon, and not standing at the edge, the northern edge of, let's say, of the southern half, and sticking his hand out with a vessel into the north to receive. That would be incorrect. He is expected to stand physically in the north. By the way, this is different than the way we deal with shechita. In the case of shechita, one can shecht with a sakin aruka, with a long knife, namely while standing in the south, shechting the animal that's positioned in the north, but not so with regard to the receipt of the dam. And hence, the Gemara is asking that mekabel atzmo, the person himself that's receiving the dam, how do we know that he has to be standing but tzafon? Omar kro, the pasuk says velokach, and if you take the vav and the lamed from the beginning of this word, you could actually construct another word and read as follows, loy, and we'll switch around the vav and the lamed, you would come out with the word loy, kach. That means he takes himself, that he must be in the north. Ashkechon lemitzvah. So far, we've seen that there is an expectation to be in the north. In other words, the proper way to do things is by being in the north. Le'akev minayin. From where do we know that north is ma'akev? Namely, that it's binding, that if one doesn't perform it in the north, one would be in violation, and one would not fulfill his requirements. The Gemara says, Kro achrino ksiv. There's another pasuk that says, by the soyer nosi, it says, v'shochat oisoi, the soyer nosi is a korban chat, it says, v'shochat oisoi, bimkoim asher yishchat es ha'oilah. In general, when you have parshios that are repeated, something is stated in a repetitious fashion, that shows us that it's binding. So we have, being that we have a second parsha dealing with the korban chatos, in this case we're talking about the soyer nosi, which is a type of chatos, it's repeating the idea that you shecht it where you did an ola. So we see now that the idea of tzofon is repeated. V'tanya, heichon oila nishchata, b'tzofon. Afzeh, b'tzofon. The Brisa in elaborating on this posuk says, well, just like an ola is done in the north, so too zeh, the soyer nasi, is done in the north. V'chi mikan atolome, v'alo kvar nemar. Are we really learning from here? Vayikra Dalid, Pasuk of Dalid, which was the Soyer Nosi Pasuk. Did it not already say, is there not another Pasuk in Vayikra Vav, Pasuk Yuches, that says, it says, Zois Toiras Achatos, Bimkoim Asher Tishchat Ha'oilo, Tishchat Achatos. So we have another Parsha that tells me that where you do the Olo, you shall do the Chatos. Ha lama yotza. So why is there a pasuk specifying by the soyer nasi likvoa loy makayim to report? Literally means to establish its place. But Rashi points out it means in this case to repeat the point by a korban chatzis to show me that it's binding. Shim lo shachda, but tzofon pasul. Thereby in telling me that if you don't do it in the north, it's unfit. Ata oimer lekach yotzo eino el shezeh ton tzofon vein achir ton tzofon. Are you telling me it's the pasuk by the soyer nasi is to establish that north is binding? Maybe it's simply telling me that only the soyer nasi requires tzofon and no other chatos requires the tzofon. Talmud lomar v'shochat es hachatos bimkoim ha'oilo. Therefore, we have this pasuk, which was the pasuk that we featured at the bottom of Mem Ches Omer Aleph, which was in Vayikra Dalid pasuk Chof Dalid. Ze bonaav lechol chatois. This serves as an umbrella for all chatos shiuch teunos tzofon that they require north. If we take tally of what we've just learned, the Gemara summarizes, Ashkechon soyer nasi, bein lemitzvah, bein la'akev. We can say with assuredness that the soyer nasi and its requirement to be in the north is binding. Because in addition to the general posuk of chatos requiring north, we have a specific posuk by the soyer nasi also saying north, saying in effect north. So when you have a doubling effect, we say that it's ma'akev, it's binding. Sha'ar chatois nami ashikhon lemitzvah. By other chatos, we also find that there is an expectation that it should be done in the north. ma'akev minolan. From where do we know that the north is ma'akev, is binding by other chatos? Before we go further in the Gemara, we should just correct a mistake that we made. We made reference, when we were reading the Brisa, toward the end of the Brisa, we said, Tamaloma v'shochet es achatus bimkoma ola. This was a pasuk that was found in Vayikra, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chof Tes, because we mistakenly may have made reference to Pasuk Chof Dalet, which was the Sawyer Nossi Pasuk, but no, this is Vayikra Dalet, Pasuk Chof Tes, which is a general pasuk. So the Gemara right now is grappling with what about other chatos other than the Sawyer Nossi, which we saw was ma'akev. The Tzafon is ma'akev. Other chatos, where do we find them being ma'akev? That's la'akev min olon. Dichtiv bekisva uksiv besi'ira. In Vayikra Dalet Pasuk Lamed Gimel, and in Pasuk Chof Tes, which is earlier, which are also sections dealing with the Chatos, there is a reference to their being shechted bimkoim asher yishchat asola, the same place that you do the Ola. The Rashi points out the fact that it would have been sufficient to simply write it by the Seira, which was earlier, and not write it by the kisva, by the sheep offering. I would have derived sheep from goat. And yet the Torah goes out of its way to write it again, the idea of tzafon again by the kisva. This shows us that tzafon is me'akev. Rashi goes on, let's see the Rashi who elaborates on this. In all of them, you have the expression, in all of these different chatos, you have asher, in the place that you do the ola, you'll do these. The sagi le b'seira, it would have been sufficient to write it by the seira, the telef mine kisva le mitzvah, and learn from it the kisva, which is stated later, learn from the seira to the kisva, that there is a mitzvah to do it in the north. When the Torah repeats it by the kisva, the idea of the north, apply it to other chatos, that they too need the tzafon in a binding fashion. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ela oisoi lomali. Notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with an Omid Aleph indication. If you turn back to Omid Aleph, you'll see toward the bottom of the page, the pasuk by the Sawyer Nossi said, V'shochat oisoi b'mokoyim asher yishchat asa'ola. The word oso is essentially a limiting word. You shall shecht it. It would generally serve to exclude others. In fact, when we were learning the Brisa, this was raised as a possibility. You could see this in the Gemara itself, about the fourth line from the top of the page, fourth and fifth line, the Gemara there in the Brisa said, Ata omer lekachot so eno elo shezeh ton sofon vein acher ton sofon. That only the Sawyer Nossi requires sofon, not something else. Now this idea would be based on the presence of the word oso, shecht it to the exclusion of something else. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, once you say that the idea of tzafon is expanded to all other chatos and not limited to the Sawyer Nossi, so what does the limitation expression do? Ela oisoi lomali. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form. We see a diamond, which is explained in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. Nisyonos lahoshiv al hasheila oisoi lomali. It attempts to explain what does oso accomplish. You'll notice that this preoccupies the Gemara for most of the balance of this Omid. And we're going to get up to five stages in trying to figure out what is the role of the word oso. The Gemara answers, Miboyale, I need the Oisoi word, which is mashma, a limitation, l'chadetanya, for the following teaching. We also find ourselves beginning a long answer. This is indicated by the tuff that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this develop the answer. We could point out, if one didn't notice, that we have the diamonds numbered to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. In the little space between the Gemara and the Rashi, if you skim down the page, you'll notice the stages numbered 1 through 5. So at this point, the Gemara figures, I need it for the following teaching, the Oso limitation word, Oso b'tzafon, v'ein soyer nachshon b'tzafon. V'tanya, the soyer nachshon is a reference to the special sin offering that was brought really not because of a sin, but it was called a korban chatas, and they were brought by the 12 Nisim, the 12 heads of tribes, when the Mishkan was dedicated in the desert, when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. That's called Soyer Nachshon. So the source is telling me that the word Oso is telling me that those sacrifices brought by the heads of tribes do not require tzafon. V'tanya, we have a Tanaic source that starts here, last three lines, v'somach yodoi al roish ha-so'ir. That pasuk is coming l'raboi soyer nachshon l'smicho d'ver bihuda, to include as requiring a placing of the hands, that's smicha, placing of the hands on the head of the animal, we're including the soyer nachshon as requiring smicha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, l'raboi sire avodes kechovim l'smicha. Rabbi Shimon says that this comes to include the sin offering brought on the event, in the event that there was a violation of avodah zorah, of idolatry. That kind of korban requires the placing of the hands on its head. Sakudai techamina, I would have thought, we're focusing right now on the first part of this source where you see the dashed underline. I might have thought, hoyol v'israbu l'smicha, since the soyer nachshon was included for smicha, israbu nami l'tzafon, let us include it also with regard to the north requirement. Komash malon, hence you have the word oisoi, telling me that the soyer nachshon does not require tzafon. Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina asks, Honichal Rabbi Yehuda, this use of the word Oso is appropriate for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who included the Soyer Nachshon for Smicha, therefore will need the Oso to exclude it from Tzafon. Rabbi Shimon, Michael and Meimar, according to Rabbi Shimon, what are we going to say? What's the role of Oso? Amalei Marzucha Brei de Rav Tovi, the Ravina. Marzutra doesn't answer the question directly with regard to Reb Shimon, but he says, "Ul Rabbi Yehuda mi nicha?" And in effect, he's starting a question that will last a few lines. And at the end of his point, he comes up with the answer that we're looking for. So he says, "According to Rabbi Yehuda, are things so smooth? L'may de Israbi Israbi, umay de lo Israbi lo Israbi." When we talk about the Soyer Nachshon being included for smicha, all we are going to say, it's included for that, but that which it's not included for example, tzafon, it's not included. And therefore, I don't need a special exclusion, namely the Oso, to exclude it from something that I would not have included it in the first place. V'chitema iloma tekra. Have amina. You might say that, well, if I didn't have the Oso to exclude it from tzafon, I would have included it based on tesi, have amino tesi bebinyan av. I would have included it through a logical comparison. That I would have included the soyer nachshon as requiring tzafon through a method called binyan av. Well, if that's what you are trying to justify Oso to serve as an antidote to the binyan av, im kein smicha gufa tesi mi binyan av, then the issue of smicha itself should have been derived through the binyan av. What did you need a special ribui for smicha? Ela shaw midoro slo gamri. With regard to smicha, you said that that which is momentary, the Soyer Nachshon was a one-time event, that I wouldn't learn from a generational requirement, and therefore I wouldn't have learned smicha by the Surah Nachshon from a common chatois, and therefore I need a special pasuk for smicha. Hachinami, so too with regard to the tzofon, I sha'a midoros lo gamrinon. I would not have learned Shaw, the Sorah Nachshon, and a Tzafon requirement from the fact that that Tzafon is required Lidoros. So since I would never have learned it on my own, therefore I don't need Oso to exclude it. I don't need Oso to exclude it from Tzafon. I wouldn't have thought that Tzafon is required by the Sorah Nachshon anyway. So what do I need Oso for? So this... Before we go on in the Gemara, let's just take note of the fact that this, from Mar Zutra, Breda Rav Tovi, he in effect, let's say, he continued the question that the Gemara had asked. The Gemara right before that had, where we squiggle underline the expression, the Rabbi Shimon, Ma'ika Lameymar, Mar Zutra is saying, but you're implying that things work out according to Rabbi Huda. And so Mar Zutra came along to say that things don't work out according to not only according to Rabbi Shimon, they don't work out according to Rabbi Yehuda either. So we're back at the drawing board. The Ela, the Osoi Lomali. So what do I need Oso for? Lichidetanya, I need it for the following. Osoi Batsafon, the Ein Shochei Batsafon. The animal must be in the north. And the word Oso is coming to exclude the need for the shochet, for the slaughterer to be in the north. The ain't shochet but tzafon. The Gemara asks a long question, which will basically demonstrate that this is not the purpose of the word Oso. Shochet, mi de Rebbe Achya nafka. The din of the shochet is learned from Rebbe Achya's teaching. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that shows us Rav Achya's teaching. Rav Achya Omer, V'shachat Oisoi al Yerech HaMizbeach Tzofona. Now, this is not the pasuk by the Sawyer Nasi. This is a different pasuk, and you have the word Oso over here. Ma Talmud Lomar. What is this pasuk teaching me when it says you shall shecht it at the foot of the Mizbeach on its northern side? Ma Talmud Lomar, so the Bryce explains, Lefi Shemotzinu, Shemekabel Oymed B'Tzafon, we have found that the one who receives the dam, the person must be standing in the north, Umekabel B'Tzafon, the Mekabel stands in the Tzafon and does the action of receiving it in the north. If the Mekabel stood in the south and did the action by stretching his hand over into the northern half and receiving the blood in that fashion, puzzle. Yochol av zeken, should I say the same thing with regard to the shochet? Tamud lomar oisoi. Oisoi batzafon, veina shochet batzafon. So I see from that pasuk that the slaughter does not need to be standing in the tzafon. So the question then is, what is Oso that we saw by the Sorin Nosi coming to do? Elo, Oisoi Batsafon, the Ein Ben Oif Batsafon. The Oso that we saw in Vayikra, Perek Dalet, Pasuch of Dalet, is telling me that is coming to exclude the bird sin offering from needing Tsafon. Desanya, the following source shows us this. Yochoye ben oif to'un safon. A ben oif is a reference to the bird sin offering. Does it require north? The din hu. Logic would say, uma ben tzon shelo kovalo koyen kovalo tzafon. An animal offering where a kohen is not necessary for the slaughtering. We have a concept or a rule that shechita ksher bizar, that a non-kohen is allowed to do the shechita. So we have a ben tzon, which is characteristic of something that's somewhat lenient. In other words, there's no restriction to a kohen with regard to the slaughtering. And yet, kavalo tzafon, yet tzafon is a restriction. Ben oif shekava lo kohen, with regard to the processing of a ben oaf, it's not shechted, it's nimlak. There's malika. Malika is the way it's slaughtered. That's through the pressure applied by the kohen using his thumbnail to the back of the neck of the bird offering, and thereby severing its spine and its simonim. So a ben oaf, that requires a kohen to do malika. So with regard to its form of slaughtering, it has a restriction already. So eino din shikba lo tzafon. So all the more so, we tzafon should be required. So that's if I was left to logic. Talmud lomar oiso. Then comes the oso word from the Torah and overrules the logic, which resulting in saying in that ben of does not require tzafon. That's derived from oso. The Gemara asks, hey, one second, do I really need a pasuk for that? I wouldn't. This logic that was presented in the Brisa has a hole in it. It says, Ma'ala ben son, shekein kovalo kli. The ben son, the animal sin offering, requires suffon because it has another restriction, namely it must be done with a knife. The bird offering is not done with a knife. It's not. There isn't a vessel that's set aside for it, or that's dictated, and therefore I might say that the tzon, which is kovalo kli, that requires tzafon. But the ben of that's not kovalo kli, it doesn't need tzafon. So I don't exclude it from tzafon through the word oso. Simply, there isn't a piece of logic that would have suggested tzafon for the ben of ella. So we're up to stage four. What is the role of Oso? So it's telling me that Oso b'tzafon v'ein Pesach b'tzafon, but the Korban Pesach is not b'tzafon. Desanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov Omer. Rabbi Lezer ben Yankov is going to give us a source in which a piece of logic is presented that would suggest that maybe the Pesach does require the tzafon. Yachol yei Pesach ton tzafon. Should the Korban Pesach require being processed only in the north, v'din hu, and logic would actually suggest that uma oilo shekein lo kovalo zman l'shitasu kovalo tzafon, a korban ola which doesn't have a fixed time with regard to when it is to be slaughtered. There isn't a calendar date for the slaughtering of an ola, and yet it has a tzafon requirement. Pesach shekovalo zman, the Pesach which is even more restrictive in the sense that the Torah dictates a date for it, the 14th of Nisan. Once again, Pesach shekovalo zman l'shchitaso, eino din shikbalo tzafon. Then all the more so, there should be the restriction of tzafon, that tzafon should apply. Once again, where tzafon applies to something that is not restricted, then the tzafon requirement should all the more apply to something that is restricted. In this case, the korban Pesach. Talmud lomar oisoi. Therefore, the Torah uses the word oso, telling me that only it requires the tzafon and not the korban Pesach. Once again, like we saw before, the Gemara says, do I really need a pasuk to free the Pesach from the tzafon requirement? The logic that was just presented has a hole in it. Ma le'ola, how can you learn from the ola to the Pesach shekein kolil? The korban ola is something that's completely burnt on the mizbech. It has this unique stringency or restriction that it's not eaten. So being that it has this restriction built into it, that it's kula, that's kolil, completely burnt, therefore it requires the tzafon. That's not the case by the Pesach. So why are you saying that I need oso to free up the Pesach from tzafon? So the Gemara says you still do need oso, mechatos. The chatos is a sin offering that is not completely burnt, and yet it requires tzafon. It's a type of korban that is eaten, and yet it requires tzafon. So too, I would have said that the Pesach is something that's eaten. Maybe it also requires the tzafon. The Gemara says, but this too, I wouldn't have learned Pesach from chatos. Ma'ala chatos, shekein mechaperes al chai bekrisus. I wouldn't learn from the chatos to the korban Pesach. The chatos atones for serious offenses. And maybe as a result of that, since it has this a special feature that it's mechaper and chayvei krisus. That's why it requires sofon, but that's not the case by the korban pesach. So I don't need the word oso to free up the pesach from sofon. So the Gemara says, well, me'osham. The osham is a type of korban that requires sofon, and yet it doesn't. It's not coming to atone for chayvei krisus. It's coming to atone for other kinds of offenses. Or in some cases, the osham is simply a machshir. It's not even coming to atone whatsoever. So it requires the tzafon. The pesach too, which is not coming to atone, it will require a being processed in the tzafon. Therefore, I do need also to exclude or to free up the pesach from the osham restriction. The osham restriction, namely tzafon. The Gemara says, but one second, I wouldn't have learned from the osham either. Ma'ala osham shekain. Kotche kotchim. The korban osham is a high level holiness type korban. It's kotche kotchim. Maybe as a result of that, it has the tzafon limitation or requirement. The pesach is not kotche kotchim, and as such, it's not going to be limited to the tzafon. Therefore, what do I need oso for? And furthermore, mikulo nami, from all of these suggested potential sources of tzafon for the Pesach, they all would fall away with this. What are those? The Chatos, the Ola, the Chatos, the Osham, they are all Shekain, Kotche, Kotchim. Therefore, what's the reason that the Torah uses the word Oso? It's not here to exclude the Pesach or to free up the Pesach from its Tzafon requirement. Li'olam, Kidamoron, Meikora. Notice we have another diamond. This is the fifth stage, but it's actually a reuse of the second stage. We've indicated this under the five that you could see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a little two in parentheses. We wrote in there, kamo two, like number two. So the Gemara says, l'olam kidamora meikar, as we said, just the we should go back to the approach we took earlier. Oysu b'tzofon vein shochet b'tzofon. The word also is coming to tell me that when being slaughtered, only the animal needs to be in the tzafon, but the slaughterer does not. Udekash yeloch, and you would ask, as we asked earlier, Mide Rebbe Achya Nafka Lon, did we not learn that from the source featuring Rebbe Achya? So the Gemara answers, Lav limute shochet b'tzafon. We're not going to use also simply to exclude the need of the slaughterer being in the north. Ella, shochet b'tzafon. Ella, ein shochet b'tzafon, aval mekabel b'tzafon. Rather, we are going to use the word oso to teach me that the animal must be in the tzafon, but the shochet is the shochet himself doesn't need to be the b'tzafon, and we're going to use that as a jumping off point to say, but the makabel must be b'tzafon. So we have two psukim available. We had Rav Achyo's source that told us that the animal must be b'tzafon and not the shochet. But once we've established that the shochet does not have to be in the tzafon, we now are medayik from that. The shochet is not b'tzafon, but the makabel must be b'tzafon. The one who's receiving the dam has to be b'tzafon. So I'll have a use for oso as a limiting expression, which will enable me to use this make this additional diuk. If we look at the Rashi, four lines from the bottom, lav limute shochet b'tzafon, oisoy degabi soir. The oso word which we are grappling with, it's written by the Sawyer Nossi, lav limute shochet b'tzafon ko'amri. It's not coming to exclude the idea of the shochet being in the tzafon. Devadai mi oisid reb achyo nafgalon. As far as the idea that the shochet himself does not have to be b'tzafon, that's learned from the reb achyo source. Elo lirbuye midukyo the miuto, the shochet b'tzafon, the mekabel. the mekabel havi b'tzofon. Rather, we're going to use the oso word by the soyer to be, let's say, to expand on the limitation inference that we saw in the case of shochet, where we saw the animal has to be b'tzofon, and we were mimayit, we excluded the shochet, the slaughterer, from being b'tzofon, and we came to the conclusion that the mekabel, the receiver, does have to be b'tzofon. The hachi darshinon, thusly we darshin the pasuk oisoi b'tzofon, the sawyer is b'tzofon, v'ein shochet b'tzofon, avo mekabel b'tzofon. The animal is b'tzofon and not the shochet, but the mekabel does have to be. So we have these two osos, one of them teaching me that the animal and not the shochet, and the other oso telling me, true, not the shochet, but yes, the mekabel must, yes, be b'tzofon. The Gemara asks, hey, are you telling me that from this extra oso, I'm learning that the mekabel must be b'tzofon, but mekabel mi v'lokach, which equals loy kach. Mi velokach loy kach nafka. It's learned from that. From the taking of the letters of the beginning of the word, velokach vov lamed, and switching them around to read loy, and then a separate word kach, whereby it means he takes himself. The Mekabel must take himself into the north. So the Gemara answers, V'lokach loy kach loy mashmalei. This approach that's saying, learn that the Mekabel must be b'tzofen from Oso, does not see it in the word V'lokach. Ashkechon shchita ba'oilo tzofon l'mitzvah. Kabolanami ashkechon l'mitzvah. When dealing with the Korban Ola, we have found that the need for the north, for the shechita of an Ola in the north, is a mitzvah, is an expectation. The receipt of the dam of an Ola should be done in the north also, we have found, le mitzvah. Shechita of a Kabbalah, le akev min olan. What about the idea that we discussed earlier with regard to a chatos, that the north is binding? Where do we know that the north is binding by an ola with regard to the shechita and kabbalah? Omar Rav Ado bar Avo v'itemo Rabo bar Shilo kal v'chomer. Before we go further, we have a marking that we want to take note of, and we've introduced this or explained it under our nosei mivneh heading that you see in the outside margin. We have this crown form, and we've indicated tshuvos, answers, l'sheila, shechita v'kabbalah b'tzofon b'ola, minolan d'ma'akev. The slaughtering and the receipt of the dam to be done in the north by a korban ola, from where do I know that it's binding? In addition to the crown marking in the Gemara text itself, you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara a Roman numeral number 1. This enables you to skim ahead to find where the next one is, and you'll find that if you have mem tes omen aleph available, you'll see it featured in the upper half of Mem Tes Amud Aleph, the Roman numeral number 2, also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. So, reading the Gemara here, Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo, Vitemo Rabo Bar Shilo Kal V'Chomer. Through Kal V'Chomer logic, we should be able to conclude that Tzofon is binding by the Shechita and Kabbalah of an Ola. Uma Chatos Habo Mikoyach Oilo Me'akeves. Mind you, a korban chatos which was derived from the ola. We find that north is binding, so you have a case of a derivative having north binding. Ola shebo chatos mikocha. The ola, which is the source for the chatos, which from ola, from which chatos is derived. Ola then being the source, as opposed to derivative. So, Eino din shema keves, then all the more so north should be binding. The Gemara says, I can undo the logic though. Mal chatos shekem chaperes al chayve krisus. It may be that chatos is derived from ola, but chatos has a certain power to it, a certain special feature in that it comes to atone for Chai V'Krisus. So since it has this unique feature that it comes to atone for those who violated sins that are Kores related, maybe as a result of that it has a Tzafon restriction and a Tzafon binding factor. Omar Ravina Ha Kashiole L'Rav Ado Bar Avo. Rashi explains what the Gemara is trying to say. It's from the following reason that Rav Ado Bar Avo, whose name was underlined just three lines up, it's for the following reason that he made his Kal V'Chomer. Klum Motzinu Tofel Chomor Mino Iker. Could it be that something that is subsidiary should be more restrictive, more stringent than the source? The point that Rav Ado was making was that it simply runs against one's logical grain to think that if the Tzafon, if the source for Tzafon is written by the Ola and the Chatos is merely derived from it, it couldn't be that that which is derived, the Tofel, the subsidiary, is more chomer, more restrictive than the source. So if we know that the Chatos Tzafon is Me'akev, then logic dictates that the Ola, certainly Tzafon must be Me'akev. The Gemara at this point will raise a series of questions challenging this principle of that we don't find Tofel Chomer Min Iker. And that will be the topic of the series of triangles that one sees if he has Mem Tes Amud Aleph available, a series of sources or of cases of situations where it seems that Tofel could be more Chomor Min Ha'iker. In truth, the Gemara will reject all of these questions. After that section of Gemara, if one has Mem Tes Amud Aleph available, he'll notice a squiggle underlined expression at the upper third of the Gemara where it says Iboy Seima Omar Kra. The Iboy Seima is introducing the next answer, the Roman numeral number 2 crown form, which are answers, as we said before, that Tzafon is Ma'akev by Ola. And there the Gemara will say the Pasuk says Ho Ola, which indicates B'mekoimo Tehe, that the Torah is dictating it shall be in its place. And if the Torah wrote Tzafon, it's telling me it must be done over there, and that it is binding. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.